Murray Branch, another Monday with Mike Smith, the head coach of the Falcons here for the first half hour, and then offensive guard Justin Blaylock will join us. 30-23, the final last night at the Georgia Dome. The Patriots defeat the Falcons. Atlanta's 1-3 with the New York Jets here a week from tonight. The Jets lost in Nashville yesterday against the Tennessee Titans. We'll catch up with Smitty on those guys later in our half hour, but I know a disappointing result, but golly, almost one of the really great comebacks in franchise history last night, Smitty, but unfortunately just didn't get the last play to go down for you that would have tied the ball game.
Yeah, it was a tough game last night in terms of the ebbs and flows.
Right.
It just didn't turn out the way we needed it to there at the end. But we had opportunities throughout the game to make some plays, and when they were presented to us we made the majority of them, but when we didn't make them, it really hurt us.
You know, we talked before about this league, not just your team or any other team, but this league being so slight in terms of winning and losing. I mean, it's a play here. It's a play there. That's what makes, as you said earlier in your comments, that's what makes a league great. But at the same time, it's what can also drive you crazy too, I guess.
It makes the games interesting, and the NFL is the most competitive industry that there is in my mind, and it's a fine line, as you mentioned, from winning ball games and losing ball games, and you just don't know what play is going to be the play. And unfortunately, through these first quarter of the season, the first four games, we've not made enough plays when they've been presented to us. And we've got to get that fixed as we move into the second quarter.
Smitty, I know you wanted to be more aggressive defensively, and you were that. I mean, you had defenders up in receivers' faces. I thought there were a lot of forced throws from Brady early in the game where he had to be extremely accurate and was not. A lot of high throws from Brady trying to squeeze the ball into tight windows. And then they got clean a couple of times. One play was the little delay route. Edelman kind of fools Bobby Mack trying to come inside and reverses his field out there. How did you feel in general? And obviously it got a little sideways later on in the game. They made a couple of explosion plays in the pass game. But how did you feel like that plan was implemented by your players?
Well, I thought through the first half the guys did a very good job of matching the receivers. I think in the end of the third through the middle of the third to the fourth quarter, we were not nearly as efficient as we needed to be and not near as efficient as we were in the first half of the ball game. And I think a lot of that had to do with not just the guys that were covering, but we weren't able to get as much pressure as we needed on the quarterback. You know, Tom did a great job of getting the ball out of his hands. They did some things run after the catch. But we've got to get more pressure. We have to have the type of pass rush that we had the week before down in Miami to really play the type of game we wanted to play defensively against the New England Patriots last night.
Were you guys at all surprised with the play? I mean, Brady threw the ball 9 times in the first half. And now some of that had to be with the fact your offense stayed on the field and kept him off the field. They ran the ball for, I think, 60 yards somewhere in that neighborhood in the first half. So pretty efficient first half of defensive football, but you'd been helped a little bit by your offense and the fact that you'd stayed on the field and taken some of those minutes away from that offense.
I wasn't surprised, Dave, in terms of that happening. I think they wanted to try to run the football against us and play slow ball. I thought that was their plan instead of coming in and spreading the field and playing the up-tempo game. They were going to kind of play more of a slow ball to keep our offense off the field. They did have a little bit of success with a couple of running schemes, but I think we adjusted to it in the latter parts of the first half. Unfortunately, there in the second half, we weren't nearly as efficient, and a lot of it had to come in the passing game. We did give up the long run, but that was a misfit where we had two guys in one gap and nobody in another gap after the third down and 21 conversion with the personal foul penalty.
You mentioned they played slow ball early. You chose to try and go no huddle on offense, at least on that opening possession. Did you find some balance there? I mean, were you trying to counter what you thought they might do? I mean, that's a little bit of the ebb and flow of the game in some respects, I guess.
Well, yes. We made a decision going in that we wanted to play the up-tempo game and see if we could control it early on. And I thought that we did a nice job on the opening drive until we got down there in the red zone and had, you know, we had some opportunities there in the red zone on that first drive. We had it first and six on the six, and we're not able to get it in. And we ended up kicking a field goal. And really, when you kick field goals in the red zone, especially against a quarterback and an offense like the New England Patriots, you're really getting behind because they're going to score their points. They've got a very efficient offense that's going to move the football and score points.
I know a lot of tension, and you continue to pay a lot of attention on what's going on in the red zone or what's not happening for you in the red zone offensively, Smitty. Ryan's been such an unbelievable player for this franchise and made so many plays for you in the red zone, outside the red zone. Can a quarterback get to the point where, and I guess I have a little bit of understanding of this, but do you feel like that maybe he's to the point now where can you press a little bit, where you're trying to be too fine to try to make a play instead of letting his natural ability just cut loose and get some of his big-time receivers the ball?
Well, we have been inefficient in the red zone in really all four games. I think we only had one game where we were 50% efficient. We were 1-for-6 in the game last night. And as I mentioned at my press conference, when you win, I think that the head coach and the quarterback get too much credit. When you don't win, the head coach and the quarterback get the lion's share of, of the blame. And I don't can't tell you that we understand, or I can tell you we understand it. Matt and I understand it, and the one thing that we've got to do is we just got to go back to work. You can't press. You've just got to go out and play the game and let the game come to you. But our red zone inefficiency in the ball game last night was not just one person.
Right.
We had some protection issues. We had we had to take a sack. We had some misreads in terms of where the ball needed to go. We had some receivers that ran some wrong routes, so everybody contributed to it. And as I told the guys in the meeting today, this is a collaborative effort, and we're going to get it fixed together. And that's how we've done things since we've been here, and we'll continue to do it that way.
Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us, of course, in this first half hour. And offensive guard Justin Blaylock will join us in our second half hour today here live from the Falcons complex at Flowery Branch. You mentioned, and I want to go back to this because you did touch on it in your presser, that you guys made the decision during the week that if you had that fourth down situation, you were going to run a play. You had a play you thought would work, just didn't go down for you. I mean, but that was something you saw in the game plan of something that you might be able to produce something with, right?
Oh, absolutely. We felt like if we had the ball inside the 10-yard line and it was fourth and two or less, that we felt very comfortable with what we felt like we were going to get coverage-wise or the options that we could possibly get coverage-wise. And we felt like if we go out and execute the play, we're going to get the first down. Unfortunately, we did not execute the play, so we left we left some points out there. If we would have executed it, I don't know that if that play would have scored specifically, but it had a good chance. But we obviously would have gotten the first down.
It seemed like, and I thought the officials were pretty consistent with this, that I thought both receiver corps were pushed around a little bit. Obviously the focus falls on our guys, Julio and Roddy in particular. It looked like Aqib Talib and a couple of their guys got away with some stuff. If it's called, I guess, both sides, I guess you can't really make a big deal out of it. But what was your thought on that?
Well, I think that it was a very physical football game. And, I don't want to address the officiating per se, but I thought it was very physical. And I thought both sides, wide receivers and defensive backs, went out there and competed. There was a lot of tugging and pulling, and I can't tell you that there were penalties that were missed or penalties that we felt like should have been called our way. There was just a lot of competition going out, and I think it was it was fun to watch. Unfortunately, we ended up on the short end of the measure.
When you get in one of those physical type games, I think you like your receiver core, because they're big, strong guys. Roddy trying to come back from this ankle, and obviously looked much better last night than he looked in the first three games. I thought, how much has that been a detriment to him as far as trying to come back from the injury, with this being as physical a game as it was last night for him?
Well, Roddy took his normal load of snaps, or the workload that he would do in a normal game. So we think he's really close to being 100%. He's when you're not 100%, though, it's tough to go out there and play in a physical game. And they were very physical, and they were doing some things matchup-wise where Tlaib ended up singling up on Roddy sometimes, singling up on Julio with safety help over the top. So they were not giving us the same look every time, and we had to go through our progressions to find out where the ball needed to go.
That was very interesting. I never got any rhyme or reason. I don't know if you guys have been able to figure out why Tlaib was on Julio predominantly in the first half, and in the second half he drew Roddy White. Was there something they were trying to do particularly to you?
Well, then they did it different from the first half to the second half, and some of it had to do with the man coverages. Some of it had to do with who they were bracketing, and some of it had to do with the zone coverages. In the first half, they lined up differently when they were in zone coverage than they did when they were in man coverage, and I think they wanted to give us a little different look and not come out in the second half with the exact same matchup that they had in the first half.
All right, we'll take a break with Coach Mike Smith. Don't forget, football fans, Pizza Hut's $10 any deals back and perfect for the game tonight. That's the Dolphins and Saints at the Superdome in New Orleans. Get any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. More with the Falcon head coach as the Mike Smith Show rolls on from Flowery Branch right here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
As snap rolls for Tony. Caught it. Touchdown, Atlanta. Boy, in that time, he spun around Logan Ryan, the rookie from Rutgers, for his second touchdown catch of the night.
Well, they just have not been able to cover him at all.
Introducing Verizon Edge, a new plan that lets you get a new Verizon 4G LTE phone when you want it. No down payments, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only from Verizon.
And Tony Gonzalez's second touchdown catch of the night is our SunTrust Bank shining play of the game. SunTrust, how can we help you shine today? With Dave Archer and the Falcon head coach Mike Smith, West Durham. 258 career games for Tony Gonzalez. And last night he set a career high with receiving yardage, 149 on 12 catches and the two scores in a 30-23 loss last night here to the Patriots. Smitty, I know we've said it, and we've talked about this thing for 5 years. This guy just is amazing. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe how good he is at what he does for as long as he's done it.
Well, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. There's no doubt he'll get his yellow jacket 5 years after he's retired. And he had a whale of a game because they were doing everything they could to try to slow him down in terms of the resources that they were allocating to Tony Gonzalez, and he still made the plays.
Yeah, you've been around the game a long time, Smitty. Have you ever seen a guy that makes more contested catches? And I'm talking about guys draped on him, maybe two-player, safety, linebacker, cornerback, all over. I've never seen a guy make as many contested catches as he makes.
Yep, he's the best at bodying and bodying off of defenders. He's just got a knack for it. He's can adjust to the ball as well as anybody. He doesn't have blazing speed and never has had blazing speed, but he's always going to put himself in position to catch the football. And last night was a clinic in terms of watching him beat some of the coverages that they were trying to put on.
As you move forward and you get into the second quarter, how important was Tony having a night like he had last night? Because in Tony terms, the first 3 weeks are fairly pedestrian for him. He had a nice opening drive against Miami, got a little banged up, and they kind of tried to take him away, doubling him against Miami. Here he has a monster evening, and they tried everything against him. How much is that? What does that do for you now moving forward as you get ready for the Jets and teams, Tampa Bay and all the teams coming up? That now, oh, wait a minute, we forgot. Tony is still pretty good. Does that benefit you moving forward?
Well, Dave, absolutely. It's going to benefit us in terms of our game planning because people now are going to continue to have to try to stop Tony Gonzalez. And when you leave him one-on-one, by what he showed last night, you're gonna lose that battle. And it just is going to help our offense immensely as Roddy continues to get healthier and we get Steven Jackson back. I mean, there's some positives that are there on the horizon for us.
Smitty, as you go into this week now, this week five ball game, start of the second quarter with the Jets next Monday night, you're afforded an extra day here. I can only imagine what it means in just the preparation, evaluation concepts, things like that you go through in a regular week. Health-wise, I got to believe it counts. A lot of things here can be taken advantage of by just this one extra day, right?
Oh, that 24-hour period is big for a lot of reasons. One, it's going to allow us to work against each other. We've got some things that we definitely have to work at, some of the inefficiencies, deficiencies that we've had in the first 4 weeks are things that we can focus on our practice day tomorrow. And those two areas that we definitely are going to spend a lot of time on are going to be on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to be talking and working some of our red zone work from the 20-yard line in. Mm-hmm. And on the defensive side, we've not been efficient in third down, so we'll work some third downs, and that'll be our emphasis point. It allows the guys that are banged up an extra day to get prepared for the ball game on Monday night. So it's a big advantage for us where we're at right now, because we've got some guys that played in a very physical game last night that are going to need that extra day.
So, maybe we talked a little bit about this last night after the game, and it's something that inevitably comes. You start 1-3. All the outside building talk is going to begin as to what's wrong with the team, who's not doing what, all that's going to happen. You've got a lot of young players on your team. You talked about a lot of them are having to play. Do you let your veterans handle that stuff, or is that something you need to address and say, hey, you know, you're going to hear this, we need to circle the wagons here? How does that work?
Well, I think one of the things that we always talk about as a staff is to our players is, you should never listen to the noise outside the building. It's important that we come, when we come into the building, we know that there's some sanctity within the building, and we all want to be accountable to one another. And when we leave the building, we don't want to listen to the noise outside the building. You shouldn't concern yourself with it, because we need to focus on the things that we can control, and we can't control how people are going to evaluate what we've done in the first 4 weeks. We know that what we've done, we know that we have things that we have to work on, and we can't concern ourselves with it. So I know that that's been my message from the very beginning. And as I mentioned earlier today, this is still early in the season. This is week five, and I know that some people are going to have a different take on it. But we've just got to go back to work and work to make plays when they're presented to us. And if we make three or four plays this next week, we're going to probably like the outcome.
Let's go to our Ford Defend the Dome question of the week. Don't forget, you can ask Coach Smith a question each week by going to defendthedome.com. If your question's answered during Ford's Defend the Dome question of the week segment, you'll get a $50 gift card to the NFLshop.com. Jeffrey Kite in Woodstock says, Harry Douglas is having a breakout season so far this year. His numbers are up. What other Falcon player is also quietly enjoying a breakout season that might not be grabbing the headlines? That's an interesting question given the variables on this roster and the young guys you're putting in some interesting positions.
Well, we've got a lot of young guys that are going to get an opportunity to have a breakout season. But I will agree that Harry has done some things in terms of creating explosive plays. He had a couple of real nice run after the catch in the ball game last night. But I think that the young player that stood out the most that people probably were not familiar with is Joplo Bartu. He's an undrafted player that's come in a seventh round pick undrafted player, not drafted, came in and has started for us now at the dime position and starting as the Sam linebacker as well. So he's positioned himself well through the first quarter of the season in terms of showing that he can play in the NFL.
What characteristics, and Dave, I know we've talked about this young man almost since the day camp opened, what characteristics, once the camp starts, that's one part of the process. But now that we're into game after game and week-to-week preparation, that can be a little bit like drinking through a fire hose, can it, Smitty?
Oh, it, yeah, for a young guy, it sure can. And, you know, he made his mistakes in the ball game. Some of them, again, when you're out there watching the game as a fan, you don't realize there's mistakes that take place, but they don't hurt you, you know, and they only get you when they get you. So, you know, we've got a lot of things that we can correct on every play. And Jopla's done a great job in learning the system. He's been very diligent, and some of the older linebackers have really helped him. And I think that just tells you what kind of room we have. And when I say room, the locker room, that guys are going to help one another learn the game and learn what they need to do to help us win games.
Smitty, you had a primetime game last night, got another one coming up this weekend on a Monday, past the weekend, Monday night. Realize you haven't had a chance to really settle in on the Jets yet, knowing that you're trying to put this game to bed late last night, probably dive into the Jets later on this evening and then into tomorrow. But superficially, as a team coming in, I would imagine based on some of the things you want to try to get done, red zone stuff, run more efficiently, a little bit more pass rush, a lot of things that you want to talk about. Tomorrow is a huge day for you as far as the preparation for this game, even though you're concentrating on yourselves.
Oh, yes. You know, and we've not really turned the page to the Jets yet. We will do that tomorrow after practice. But, you know, they're off to a 2-2 start through their first quarter of the season. You know, they've got a rookie quarterback that has played efficiently for them at times. At other times, he hasn't. They have allowed 14 sacks, so they're not necessarily protecting the quarterback as well as they would like. But they are running the ball well, and I think that when you have a rookie quarterback, and having worked with Rex and know what his philosophy is, he's gonna run the ball. And I think it's Bilal Powell. Mm-hmm. He's got almost 300 yards rushing.
Yep.
And I think it's top 10 in the NFL. So I'm familiar with them. And, you know, always they're going to put pressure on the quarterback. And I think they're one of the top three teams in producing sacks. So once we get through this Falcons on Falcons tomorrow, you know, it'll be 100% focus on the Jets. But there'll be a lot to focus kind of in the background towards the Jets. We've got to get ready as a coaching staff. We've got to do better as a coaching staff than what we've done in the first quarter of the season as well.
All right, Coach, thanks as always for the time. That's Falcon head coach Mike Smith. When we come back, our player segment in the second half hour, offensive guard Justin Blaylock will be here to visit with Arch and myself as the Mike Smith Show continues from Flowery Branch after this on 7i of the Zone.
Touchdown, Atlanta! They waited the whole drive to run it in. Oh, my goodness, Akeem Dent!
Stand by, gentlemen.
To Brandon Bolden, and Dent got there as soon as the football did. It is a loss of 6.
Never be without football. Get coverage of every NFL game from NFL Mobile on your smartphone. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile from Verizon now.
Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game, Akeem Dent, 8 tackles and the hit for a loss there. He's brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month monitoring fee. No cost to switch online at AckermanSecurity.com. Justin Blaylock will join us shortly in the player segment here for the Mike Smith Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham until the top of the hour, and then more Archer and Bell with John Michaels from the complex here at Flowery Branch. Appreciate Coach Smith's time. Archer, I think he's very candid, very upfront about what the situations are. Falcons have got to get better as the Falcons, not as much about who they're playing, but those challenges are going to exist, and it'll continue a week from Monday night when the Jets are here.
Well, there's got to be a sense of urgency with this team. There's, you know, we've talked a lot about it. Smitty's going to say the right things, and obviously under the collar, he's boiling right now.
Sure.
And you and I have been around him enough that he's going to play it straight, and he's going to do the coach speak to a certain extent for the fans, and try to do all as well. But inside, he's churning. In the fact that they're not very good in the red zone right now. Offensively, they've been poor. Even though Matt threw for a career-high 421 yards last night, not the cleanest game I've seen him play. Certainly in the red zone, he missed a number of opportunities. So as Tony said post-game, and I listened to his interviews, he was very adamant about the fact that he knows that there's going to be talk about the season's over. Why did you come back? You're 1-3. This is not a very good team. And he was adamant about the fact, from a leadership standpoint, he was going to make sure that they understood by no means is this thing over, or are we just have to take care of business this week and move forward, and that every guy has to do their job better.
Right.
And that includes Matt Ryan, and that even includes Tony, coming off the performance he had last night. I'm sure there was a block or two he missed in the run game that he would like to get fixed. He was phenomenal. He's probably the one guy in the whole thing that you wouldn't point to and say, hey, he needs to fix something, but he would probably find something on the film. But the more glaring positions are obviously the edge blockers, your tackles, your quarterback.
Right. Okay?
And your quarterback had some problems last night in the red zone. He missed a number of open targets that you wonder if he is he's in a position now where he understands how inefficient they've been down there, and he is to the point now where he's trying to hand the ball to guys as opposed to just cutting it loose, which he's done his whole career.
Interesting that, and we touched on this last night in the fourth quarter, all the characteristics and all the building that has gone on here in 5 years, sometimes that infrastructure is not most serviceable when you're winning. Sometimes that infrastructure helps you best when you run through a stretch like this.
Sure.
I think this may be one of the times where that infrastructure is going to come into play here. The way they go about doing things in the locker room, the chemistry and the continuity of the coaching staff, all the things they've done. Because not only have they been in close games, and really all three losses are one possession games, mm-hmm. at the same time, and you touched on this last week in Miami, for the first time in probably, 5 years at least, they're dealing with significant injuries than more than just a week.
Yeah, it's the first time that I can remember. We had the one instance there in 09 where Ryan was hurt. You didn't have Ryan. You didn't have Michael Turner
right.
for a stretch. But nothing like this where you've had a ton of injuries across the board. But we can go – all you have to do is go back to 2010. The team that won the Super Bowl had 19 guys on injured reserve. The
right.
Green Bay Packers found a way to put it together. But the infrastructure you're talking about means that these players that they've gone out and signed and those guys now have to play.
Right.
And I know you're a rookie, and this is the conversation that has to happen. I know you're a rookie, but you can't play like a rookie. You're going to have to spend more time in the meeting room. You have to spend more time on tape. There's got to be a lot more going on there to get you ready to play than, oh, we'll put you in periodically.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have time to put you in periodically. Now you're in.
Right.
So now you got to spend the extra time getting ready.
And give you an example of New England. They ran the ball pretty well last night. Didn't run it as efficiently in the second half as they did in the first, but then again, that's kind of what they wanted to do. They set you up one way or another in dictating the tempo. They lost Shane Vereen in week one after a 100-yard ball game against Buffalo. They found a combination of Brandon Bolden, LeGarrette Blount, clearly Stephen Ridley. I mean, they found a way to run the game. And the one thing that's caught my eye is since Steven Jackson got hurt against the Rams, Atlanta has not let their run game suffer because of that. The combination of Snelling and Rodgers, albeit unorthodox, has clearly worked here.
Yeah, and I think the constant for the New England running game is their offensive line.
Absolutely.
Okay, you can interchange guys, and that was the beauty of the Bronco running game through the years. How many different backs did we see plug in? But
right.
the scheme and the guys up front pretty much stayed the same. That's what New England's done. There's been a little bit of uncertainty on the Falcon offensive line, obviously the two edge players.
And maybe some more if Baker's lost for a week or
if
two.
If Baker's gone, I think Lamar is a left tackle. Okay, and I think that's why you saw True Blood start this week. The Falcons wanted the more athletic Lamar Holmes on the field, but through a trial and error period, which they had to do on the go, because Claybo was let go, so
right.
you put yourself in this position. You tried him at right. He's not a right tackle. He's a left tackle. So True Blood comes in, and now you've got a guy that actually looks like a right tackle, and Lamar Holmes to me looks like a left tackle, and I don't know that there's going to be a huge step down if Baker can't play. Sam had some problems last night. Now, he was banged up trying to play with a toe injury and a knee.
Mm-hmm.
But he had back-to-back – he had a holding penalty and an illegal hands-to-the-face penalty. It really dug himself a hole, and then he was out of the game, 23 snaps or something like that.
Right.
Lamar Holmes played the bulk of the game, And I think ultimately he's going to be your guy at left tackle.
It's interesting, too, because as we've kind of uncovered with some of these injuries, Bartu's on the field a little bit more. Smitty talked about his development. You're starting to see some other guys in a plug-and-play situation here. We've still got a handful of weeks left before you've even got a remote chance of having the roster back in full, and you're still not going to have it in full because Corey Beerman's gone for the year and Brady Ewing's gone for the year. But you've at least got a chance to get back some of what you've lost injury-wise.
Well, and like you, what you say is true. The infrastructure and what you've done from a depth standpoint is going to come to bear now, mm-hmm. and it has to. If you want to continue to be a team that's going to be talked about in the realms of postseason, those guys are going to have to play. And that that's the part, and John and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, there's 12 games left. You know, and if you space it out and you look at it realistically, what? You got to be 9-3. Can't look at that, though.
Right.
It's too big.
Correct.
You've got to try to take care of business this week, get a win this week, and then you can move to the next one. It's really going to have to be by the stations here because I don't think you can plan anything at this point. They haven't been consistent enough.
How much of this is mental? Smitty talked about, you know, the serenity of the sanctity and the serenity of here as opposed to the old ignore the noise concepts that some teams go with. In fact, New England, I think, has adopted that philosophy for years. But how important is the mental side now for a player?
Well, I think being able to handle the stuff that's going on that you're going to be taught, you're 1-3, you're out of it. 12% or 8%
sure.
of teams go 1-3, make the playoffs. They're going to hear that. They're going to hear that all. You're not as good as we thought you were. All that stuff's going to get thrown at them. So from a mental toughness standpoint, yeah, you got to block that stuff out. You got to believe in the guys that are around you, all that kind of stuff, all the stuff you hear. But make no mistake about it, physically, they'd have got to go make plays on the field, especially when they have an opportunity to score. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that. Ryan was nowhere near the guy that you need to have this game in the red zone. He's got to be a much better. But you also have to have guys winning that are creating separation, doing those kind of things that makes him comfortable to throw the football. But, yeah, there's a mental part of handling what really is not important, what other people think about you. Mm-hmm. But the physical part, you got to go play. That has to happen this week.
Is there a marker you're looking for next Monday night based on what you've seen through the first four games? Is it going to be defined by productivity in the red zone, or is there something else out there?
No, I think that it's going to – they've moved the ball from 20 to 20. It's going to be, can you finish? Can you step on their throat? This is the team – let's make no bone. This is a team they should beat by two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Jet team that's not that good a Jet team. Okay, they got a young quarterback that isn't sure what he's doing. They're not bad defensively. They run it a little bit. This is a team you got to go squash.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You got to go. When you got an opportunity, you got to go squash them.
Well, an interesting ball game tonight, by the way. Two teams the Falcons have already played this year: the Saints and the Dolphins, a pair of 3-0 teams. And be kind of an interesting watch tonight. New Orleans at home against the Miami team that's trying to kind of brand itself a little bit. And then talking with some people in the New England media last week in preparation for last night's ball game, Miami's a team that's caught a lot of people's eye here.
Yeah, Miami's played well. I think this will be a tall task for them. They don't protect the passer very well.
Right.
And we got after him pretty good. I think he's, 14 sacks they've given up in
Correct.
The first 3 weeks of the season. That's going to be an issue tonight. Now, if Tannehill can do some of the things that he did against Atlanta in the second half, then I think they've got a chance. This is – New Orleans realizes the opportunity here.
Yeah.
Okay, Atlanta's down right now. They understand that. They would like to – they don't want that game coming up on a Thursday night in late November to have anything to do with what remotely could be part of a division race. They would like to try to distance themselves as much again, much like we did a year ago where
sure.
we jumped out 9-0. Can you make that happen? I think it's going to be a tall task for Miami to win the game tonight. But I don't think it's too early to say Miami needs to win for Atlanta tonight.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because New Orleans could go to 4-0 tonight. They'd have a three-game lead in the division.
Yeah, 3.5 with the count the game over the Falcons. Don't forget, Falcon fans, the Falcons did score in the fourth quarter yesterday, which means you can save $150 instantly on four new tires and an alignment. Today only, though, you've got to go find your local Kauffman Tire location. The tire guys, Kauffman Tire.
Got to hurry along, don't you?
Got to get it done. Still time, though. Go get it.
Still time. We'll take a break. Justin Blaylock will join us as our second half hour of the Mike Smith Show rolls on for Flowery Branch. Right here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
goes out of bounds. What a great catch that is. 10 more yards to give Tony over 100 yards tonight. 107, the 31st time in his career. His sixth time as a Falcon over 100 yards.
Verizon has a new opportunity for you. It's called Verizon Edge. Pick a phone and pay monthly installments. Enjoy 6 months of the phone until at least 50% of the phone is paid off.
Wow.
Verizon, you edge up by trading your existing device for a new one. It's that simple from Verizon.
You know, we've talked about this constantly with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, here at the Falcons Complex on the Mike Smith Show. 12 catches, 149 yards last night, two touchdowns for Tony Gonzalez. He was targeted 14 times, 12 receptions on 14 targets.
Yeah.
258 games last night for him. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean,
the numbers
just
are
go pick out a stat, aren't
you? Yeah, the numbers are mind-boggling when you look at these guys that have been around as long as Tony's been around. I think that's the part that I think, you know, boggles the mind a little bit. I was looking at Tom Brady last night, you know, another guy that obviously is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, you'd mentioned last night he threw a touchdown pass for the 52nd consecutive time, now closing in on Breeze's record of 54 consecutive games with a touchdown. Last night going over 300 yards was his 54th 300-yard game in his career, trailing I can't think of who it is, Marino or Favre at 72 or something like that. But the numbers that guys that stick around as long as Tony has, as Tom Brady have, really until you read them and you try to absorb them, it's mind-boggling.
Well, and here's the thing, and you've played in this league long enough. Last night was his 63rd road win in his 179th start.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's assume that of 179 games, he's played half of those on the road, okay? Roughly, you got to figure.
Sure.
Okay, so he's probably had he's won 63 out of what?
So he's winning
80-some games on the road.
He's winning 90s. Over two-thirds of his games on the road.
His winning percentage as a starter in the regular season is over 78%.
Yeah.
That's those are staggering numbers. And by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. I point out the offensive line last night. Volmer, Conley, Wendell, Mankins, and Nate Solder. Mankins has started 118 games last night. He's by far the most veteran. Next is Conley and Volmer on the right side. Now, remember, Conley came into this thing a couple of years ago, so he started 46 games last night. Volmer was 48, 33 for Solder, and Wendell, the fifth-year guy, is only his 25th start, so this is his third year as a starter. Interesting to look at how they continue to evolve because, as we've said, since – Thomas Dimitroff got here as the general manager. There are Patriot principles in terms of the way Atlanta's being built for long-term continuity, and we're seeing some of that maybe come into play this year with this team continuing.
Well, you got to give Brady a ton of credit last night, Wes. He threw 9 passes in the first half. It really was pedestrian. They ran a ball for about 60 yards. Really didn't do a whole bunch. Give Atlanta some credit by the way they played aggressively. But the cast of characters, I mean, Amendola and Gronkowski don't play. So you got Julian Edelman, who most people probably know because he's kind of a Swiss Army knife type guy. He's played defense, played offense, kind of like a Troy Brown type. He came in last night tied with Julio Jones for the league's lead in receptions at 27, had another big night because of what he did in the second half. But here's the other guys, Josh Boyce, Aaron Dobson, Kimbrel Tompkins, all those guys are rookies. But yet Brady just continues to do what he does and make plays and win games. And, again, he gets another win on the road.
And Belichick's 209th win, by the way, tied him with Chuck Noll for fifth all time.
Not bad.
Yeah, throw that one on. All right, looking ahead, we talked about the Jets and we set up a little bit. The South is in a situation where if New Orleans wins tonight, it's a 3-game lead on the field. Carolina with a bye is a game back, obviously, in terms of the numbers, but the Bucs lost yesterday. They're 0-4 with a bye coming this week. But give me something in the NFC here. Out west, we're getting a Seattle situation where they're playing well. The Seahawks are delivering kind of what everybody thought. The 49ers are 1-2. In the north, the Bears got off to a hot start. Detroit railed them yesterday. So Chicago lost for the first time. The Packers are off to a tough start there, Arch. Minnesota kind of finding their way. Matt Cassel with a nice ball game yesterday for them.
Yeah, they did a nice job. That'll be an interesting decision for the Minnesota Vikings. They get the win in London against the Pittsburgh Steelers in another game where Roethlisberger makes a couple of bad decisions, turns the ball over in his end of the field. They ultimately claw back and can't score, much like Atlanta last night.
Right.
Had a chance to tie the game at the 10-yard line and couldn't get it in. Ultimately turned the ball over on a strip sack, and Minnesota ends up the game and ends up the win 34-27. Disappointed. I think Dallas fans have to be just banging their head against the wall today. This is a team that really had a chance to seize the NFC East to a certain extent yesterday.
Yep.
Not take it, not win it, obviously, but really put some distance between them and the three other teams that are just kind of flopping around.
Yep.
But they don't do it. They didn't take care of business, and they allowed Phillip Rivers and the boys to come back.
Well, we touched on this last night in the pregame. Is the shine off Philadelphia here a little bit, or is that just Denver being Denver?
No, I don't think anybody wants to play Denver.
No.
If you get Denver, unfortunately for the Falcons, if they were ever to get Denver, it'd be in the last game of the year when the trophy's on the line. But I'm not sure anybody wants to play Denver right now. And if you're an offensive coach, the problem is you don't have 18. Okay, you don't have number 18. Because I think as much as we want to talk about all the stuff that's the coaching and all that, 18 is playing his finest year. He's having his finest. He's 38 years old.
Yep. He and Tony are roughly right there.
He's got 16 touchdowns. He hasn't thrown a pick yet.
Right.
And they're throwing the ball all over the yard. His receiving core is not any better than a Falcon receiving core.
No. I mean, he's got Decker. He's got Bebe Thomas. He's got Julius Thomas at tight end.
He got Welker.
I mean, it's basically constructed in the same alignment. And they're running it with different guys, too. You got a Ronnie Hillman here. You got
Well,
a
look
Doshan
at their offensive. Their offensive line's banged up as well. You got a center that's
Clady's
their
gone
team,
for the year, right?
Their third team center in Manny Ramirez. Clady's gone. So you can't tell me it can't be done.
Right.
So now it's about going out and getting it done. And if I'm a coach, I wouldn't be too proud. I'm going to look at what Denver's doing. What are they doing?
Right.
Because they're creating mismatch opportunities. You got the same set of receivers right here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, that. I'm just saying.
Bengals are 2-2, lost to the Browns 17-6 yesterday. Who knew Brian Hoyer was the answer?
Yeah, who knew that trading your number one pick from a couple of years ago, your running back, would spark the team. Cleveland has really been centered around their defense, and if they had a quarterback that wouldn't turn the ball over,
right,
you liked their chances. And
sure.
A good win for them against Cincinnati puts them right back in the middle of the race in that division.
Think the Bengals are banging their head a little bit? That's a good football team.
That's another team that's got to be kind of scratching their head as to what's going on, much like Atlanta. I mean, they're overly talented, but what's especially defensively. Now, I think offensively they're still trying to find their way a little bit, but defensively they're as good as anybody in the league, yet they're sitting there at even par.
Kansas City, 4-0. The Giants are 0-4 after 31-7 yesterday.
Kansas City is now they turned the ball over for the first time yesterday, still
right.
Got the win. They and Tennessee were the only two teams that came into the weekend having not turned the ball over.
And
Tennessee did not turn the ball over yesterday. They now have no turnovers through the first four games. They're the only team in the league that hasn't turned the ball over yet, and they're sitting at 3-1. That tells you, gives you a good indication of what turnovers will do to you. Smith threw, I think, two interceptions yesterday, but they got the huge punt return by Dexter McCluster. And the Giants, this might be the end for Tom. As many times as Tom Coughlin has dug them out of what looked like a certain grave situation, I think they're in a lot of trouble.
But, Dave, here's the thing. They have players. I mean, they've got a two-time winning Super Bowl quarterback that was 18 of 37 yesterday. David Wilson ran for 55 yards. Victor Cruz had 10 catches for 164.
Yeah, one of them comes on an 80-yard touchdown.
Right,
okay, but the quarterback, I like Eli. Eli's really hot and cold, okay? If Eli's hot, then they're in great shape. That's why they need a little bit of a run game, so when Eli is struggling, they can give it to somebody. They have got no running game. They can't run the football. So their offensive line's a patchwork group. Giants are in trouble.
They were 1 of 14 yesterday on third down.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
And they got a lot of players now. I mean, they got a lot of variables, a lot of guys. It's an interesting situation for sure. The only other thing that kind of catches your eye, and you mentioned this, is what's going on in the NFC East, because nobody can really kind of position themselves to take advantage here. Dallas Missed a chance yesterday with San Diego, Philadelphia, Washington, and obviously the Giants.
So what it's going to come down to is those two teams playing each other to determine who's going to win it.
Right.
Dallas is 2-2. The rest of them are two of them are 1-3, and of course, right, the Giants sitting at the bottom at 0-4. So the Giants at 0-4, knowing that Dallas is 2-2, is not out of it.
Right.
You know, they lost to Dallas in Dallas early in the year. They get Dallas in a return engagement in New York. So, you know, Tom Coughlin, I guess, could potentially dig them out of another grave because no one's run off and hid in the division.
Yep. Just so you know, Patriots, Dolphins, Broncos, Chiefs, Saints, and Seahawks, six teams still remain undefeated, and one of those will fall by the line tonight with the ball game at the Superdome. But the Patriots are 4-0, Broncos 4-0, Chiefs 4-0, and the Seahawks 4-0. And of those, the Chiefs are clearly the surprise. Give Andy Reid a lot of credit.
Yeah, and I think who's playing the best, who's the best football team right now, I don't think there's any question Denver's the best team in the league right now. I think that that's hands down. Seattle would probably be in the number two spot, although I thought Seattle was given a gift on Sunday. Matt Schaub made a horrible decision with 2 minutes to go in the game, threw a just kind of a blind bootleg throw that he throws into Richard Sherman's hands. He takes it for six. They win the game. Win the game in overtime to Seattle after being down 20-3 at the half. So give Seattle a ton of credit, though. Hang in on the road, make a play or two, and find a way to win. They're a good football team, but I think Denver's number one on the list right now.
All right, final minute here or so with Arch and
2 minutes.
Give me some thoughts on the most important things for Atlanta here and getting ready for the Jets. Maybe not only from a strategic side, but also from a mental side.
Well, the mental side's obvious, Wes. The mental side is that you're only four games into the year. Learn what you can from the first four. Shove them into the rearview window, a rearview mirror, and don't look back at them. And get ready for this one. Take one. The old adage: take one game at a time. Mentally, you can't look at the next 12 games. You got to look at one. Physically and in schematically, you've got to really grind on what you saw in those films that you're not doing. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty obvious stuff. Matt wasn't very accurate yesterday throwing the ball in the red zone. That's something he can fix. If I'm a receiver, I've got to find a way to get off jams. Okay, I got to get clean. I got to give my quarterback something to throw to that's a little cleaner than a guy draped on my back. Mm-hmm. Defensively,
1 minute.
It's going to come take care of your job in the run game. Smitty talked about misfits against the run. Every defensive coach will tell you that. You have a fit against the run. Now, the thing that they won't tell you is the offense is trying to block one of those guys that's supposed to fit in a hole, and if you can get one of them blocked, there's a crease in there.
Yep.
So that's the give and take in the run game. But I think the defense over four games has been relatively okay. They haven't been great, but they've done enough for you. I mean, you get a stop, three and out to start the third quarter. This is 2 weeks in a row they've created something to start the third quarter for you. 2 weeks ago, it was a strip sack. You get the ball, you score. They get a three and out, and they got the building pumped. You got a short field. You don't do anything with it. That's where it's got to start. It's got to start on the offensive side of the football. You got to finish drives. Got to put points on the board.
Don't forget now, with the week and the Atlanta not playing again until next Monday night against the Jets, you won't get any discernible injury news until Thursday because that's when they have to provide it. That'll be essentially their Wednesday, if you will, of game week. And then pay attention. Mike Smith will have some interesting comments this week. That evaluation point and the principles he brought up, those will be critical as Atlanta gets ready for the Jets next Monday night. And our program moves to Tuesday next week, by the way, with the Monday night ball game. We'll be here on Tuesday with Coach Smith and a player guest as well. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming your way next on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.